This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Michael Kroger is the president of the Victorian Liberal Party. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Macca. I'm well. How are you?
Oh, look, fantastic, fantastic. And we just said to Sally that she won with 53% of the vote, and I said many politicians would love to have 53% of the vote. It was a pretty resounding win for her.
It was, and I don't know her well, but people speak very well of her, and let's hope she does a good job. It was unfortunate, the circumstances surrounding her predecessor, obviously, and we wish her well. It's a great city. We all love it, and she goes with the good wishes of everybody, I think.
Well, she gets 10 out of 10 for the charm factor. There's no doubt about that, Michael.
Well, that's obviously part of her appeal.
It is.
If we all had that charm factor and appeal, mate, we'd all be Lord Mayor, but we're not.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. So, anyway,
I don't think I'm charming enough to be Lord Mayor, anyway.
Oh, Mackie, you are. No, you are. Macca for Lord Mayor next time.
Macca's blushing.
You're the man.
Oh, look at that. I've got an endorsement from Michael Kroger. Oh, my God.
We can have a new mayoral car, an open-top Mercedes 600 with the old Merc 600. We can have a soft pop with you there with the chains on and the staff, and away you go.
Sounds good to me. We were just talking about Sally's result, and of course we've got 5 by-elections coming up federally, and the time between, you know, obviously when those members resigned from the parliament for around the citizenship reasons, but it's a couple of months away now. And I'm just wondering, Michael, one, that's a longer time than normal, and that can be a good thing and a bad thing, but do you, you know, you're, I know you're on, you know, you'll probably say to us you're only the stamp licker, but
yeah.
Do you see...
You know that.
I know, exactly. Do you see... it's a good line, that. Do you see this... Is it going to be... Are people in those electorates going to use this as a referendum on the government and also a referendum on the opposition? How do you see that?
Well, first of all, when Peter McGoran, who was the member for Gippsland, announced his resignation from the parliament in 2008, it took 85 days to be a by-election.
That's right.
So
it's not unusual.
It's not unusual, Macca. The whole conspiracy theory thing, I mean, really, the country's got bigger things to talk about than that. The answer to your question specifically is, look, it will be in many respects. In WA, Labor will do well. I'd obviously win those two. We're not running there. The Liberal vote in WA is down, and that's got a lot to do with the feeling by Western Australians that they're still being dudded on the GST. But the other three, yeah, there'll be referendums on the government. I mean, as we know, governments never win by-elections.
It's pretty rare.
It's very rare. I think the last time was 1920. So do we expect, which was a while ago, do we expect to win any of the three? No. Look, we've got some hope in South Australia. We've got Georgie Downer, who's a great candidate. But people in South Australia have been saying to me, well, you know, Rebecca Sharkey's only been there a short period of time, and to throw someone out who's only been there a short period of time, you've got a better chance of winning at a general election than a by-election.
No.
So are we going to win that? Odds against us. In Queensland, Longman, we really don't know what's going to happen with the One Nation preferences in the end. Again, there are arguments as to why we could win it, but, you know, you'd be surprised. And then Braddon in Tasmania, well, again, a Labor seat in a by-election. So the overwhelming thing in the by-election is that in by-elections is that people use it as a chance to protest against a government, whether it's Liberal or Labor. That's historically been the case in Australia. They don't like governments to get big heads. But the fact, Macca, that we're in in contention in those three tells you both the Turnbull government are coming back. You can feel it everywhere. That now the debate is back onto economic issues, taxes, etc., which is the Liberal Party's traditional core home ground. Then that's why Turnbull's vote is strengthening. And for as long as the debate is about tax, the Turnbull government will continue to strengthen. If it continues on that topic for another year, Macca, Turnbull will be re-elected.
Okay, let me ask you this, Michael. You and I think have decent incomes. Let's say that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to, and I'm attracted by some of what the Treasurer wants to do about the tax brackets, but you know, why should I wait till 2024?
Yeah.
For a tax cut, and bear in mind that 81, you know the figures as well as I do, that mm-hmm. the top income brackets pay enormous amounts of tax, but overwhelmingly a big share. Now, you know, TAS might say, well, that's only fair and just. I accept as part of a community I have an obligation, but to expect those real people that are earning high incomes to wait all that time to get some meaningful tax relief. I mean, can I ask you personally, how do you feel about that? I mean, an old friend of yours said he didn't think the deficit would be paid off in his lifetime, and it was time that government did something for the real high income earners. What do you reckon?
Well, I think this. Governments in Australia have been living beyond their means. We've been spending too much money. Of course, you'd like a tax. Everyone would like a tax cut now. Everyone would like cheaper electricity prices now. Everyone would like everything now. But the budget can't afford it, Macca. That's the bottom line. And at the end of the day, there's a very powerful moral argument, which is this. With no real wage increases in this country for the overwhelming majority of Australians, because real wage growth, as you know, is zero, this is a problem throughout the Western world. There are people who are doing it tough. They can't pay their electricity bills. The cost of living is very high for many Australians. And if those that can afford to pay their bills and can afford to drive good cars and can afford, you know, the good things in life, if they have to wait a few years, then I'm sorry, and I'm in that category and you are, I'm sorry, we have to wait. And, you know, but by the grace of God, we'd be living in another less fortunate country. We happen to be living in the best country in the world on good incomes. And people on good incomes in this country want for nothing. They want for nothing. And if we have to wait and give a hand up to Australians who are not in as good a position, well, I, for one, and I'm sure in the end of the day, you are prepared to do that.
And, Michael, there are a number of our listeners who've actually just made some comments via text and email who actually endorse the position that you've just articulated.
But can I just say, I have no objection, right, as part of a community to paying a fair share, right? That's what I accept. Yep. The issue I have is that the tax system, for virtually everyone, I think we need to start again. The bracket creep, you know, and, you know, saying, Michael, those of us can afford to pay a bit more, you know, can pay a bit more for a bit longer, okay? It needs a revamp. But, you know, I get a feeling out there in community people that I speak to that they don't, this whole idea, the Treasurer's whole idea, they're not buying into it. They think it's, well, I won't say on air what they think it is. But they think it's crap. I think
that's a comment, Macca.
Yeah, but Michael, tax is going to be front and centre, isn't it?
It is going to be front and centre. But Macca, you see, I'm not sure what the alternative is. I mean, the one thing you can't keep doing is running budget deficits. You know, someone used this great phrase with me years ago that sooner or later, the economic reality stick of life will hit you in the head. And you can keep spending and spending, but in the end, the IMF or someone will come and pull out stuff. And Australia can't keep running at these huge levels of debt. You know, we have record household debt in this country, which shows you that people are borrowing and borrowing more. Now, that's fine when you've got cash rates at less than 2%. Once interest rates go start up, rising...
Yeah, we're in trouble. Yeah, absolutely.
We're in trouble, right? Lower and middle come in earners, the income earners who have got, you know, a flat with a big mortgage, you know, are paying historically low rates on the mortgage, fine.
Michael, I'd like to move the... I'd like to move the conversation on to another subject, if I may.
Sure, mate.
What's been occurring, what we've been reading in the press of late, is that the Victorian branch of the Liberal Party is being slowly taken over by conservative forces.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, they come from all sorts of different faith-based perspectives and non-faith-based perspectives, but the issue here is, what are the policy implications and what impact will this have on future policies that the Liberal Party can run with?
Sure. So, look, the answer to the question is, A, it's not true. It's not true. It's a fair fact. I'll tell you what's happened. The Australian Christians ran at the last election, right? They got 1% of the vote. So they have said they're no longer running at federal elections because no one's interested in voting for them in sufficiently large numbers that warrants them winning. So we've had some people who were members of the Australian Christians join us. We've had some people who were Family First members join us because they've given up. At the same time, we've had some people leave who've gone to the Australian Conservatives. So we have had some faith-based people join the party. One person who is of the Mormon background, and I've never spoken to him about religion, one person is on our executive of 19, one. So The Age and John Fain and Fairfax are very excited about things. But I went to a Christian school. Am I religious? No. Beverly McCann, vice president, not religious. One of the other vice presidents is not. Marcus Bastion, who's standing 20 feet from me, has just become a Catholic, but he's not terribly religious, frankly. I mean, this is just a total exaggeration. The answer to your question is it has no impact because the organisational wing of the party doesn't make policy.
I don't know if you watched Q&A on Monday night, but in fact there was a contrary position expressed by one of your members on Monday night who argued that the reason why these people were joining the Liberal Party was for one and one reason alone, and that was...
Safe schools? Yeah, kick. No, sorry, it's not a contrary argument, it's an additional argument. Oh, look, there's 50 reasons. Yes, we've had some people join in the Outer East because they're upset with safe schools. And once Matthew Guy gets rid of safe schools, I think you'll actually find quite a few of those people leave. We had people join because they strongly opposed the Whitlam government, some of the Whitlam government's policies. When Whitlam lost office, those people tended to drift away. So you often get people, and I've been in the party for 40, whatever it is, years now, you'll often get people join for a reason of a single issue. When that issue dies, those people tend to leave. They get very excited and agitated and join you, which is great, but they're not lifelong members. So traditionally what happens is you'll find some people will join, and as they have in this case, because of safe school, and when that issue is dealt with and there's a proper anti-bullying program brought in by Matthew, that those people will probably tend to wait. I've seen these cycles many, many times over the years. So the answer is it has no implication whatsoever because branch members don't make policy. And secondly, the whole thing is highly exaggerated by Fain, and he's a good man, John. But
well, interestingly enough, our switchboard's just gone a bit feral here this morning with feedback from our listeners who are saying, questioning your perspective on what is a safe schools program. So that's a subject that we need to have a further debate
for another day.
Yeah, look, we've got to go, Michael. Again, thank you for your time.
Lovely to talk to you anytime.
And we'll speak to you next week on some other stuff. Thank you so much for that.
All right, all the best.
Say hello to Marcus Bastion for us.
I will. Cheers, bye.
See you. Bye, Michael.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.